You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
So, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires?
They said all along, perfection is not possible. We just want to get the big decisions right.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Green room getting hot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
The right answer was a goal in Times Square so we could do butts up. But that was an easy one.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe in the green room. The crew is all here. David Goss, Bobby Warshaw, Matt Doyle. We are drawing on our collective resources to help preview the 29 MLS season. 5 days, guys, until CCL Fever. Five. One, two, three, four, five. That's all it is. We're going to try to figure out how we can create a bracket. Should I do that? Should we wager something on that? Are you guys into that? Like a bracket challenge for CCL?
Why do we have to figure it out? It's not that complicated. Yeah. It's a knockout tournament.
Yeah, right. Sure,
I'm interested in the fact that Bobby's shaking his head. Usually if there are these types of games put up on offer amongst the group, Bobby's the first one to jump in.
Well, Bobby knows he can't game this one and cheat the system as he did during the World Cup.
That's true.
He cheated and won. Did we all pay him for that? Or did everyone?
I know I did.
Really? I don't know if I protest.
It took me four
I don't think I did. Look, CCL is back. We now know where the English language TV/streaming rights are going to be. Yahoo Sports have those. So go check that out. Also, Univision Deportes will have it throughout the tournament in Spanish, which I really enjoy. Our preview of CCL Fever comes on Monday. All five teams, the entire tournament, everything you need to know leading into Tuesday's opening round of 16 games.
And let me just say, like, I used the Yahoo Sports app when I was in Cabo on vacation to watch the Super Bowl on like 3G on my little cell phone. And it was fine. It was like rock solid. So I know the last couple of years there were some real issues with getting to watch these CCL games.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
So low-key Doyle just sneaking in a "I'm a huge NFL fan" comment there.
Nothing explains Doyle's addiction to the internet like sitting on a beach in Cabo and watching a sport he doesn't even really care about.
Yeah, it's
no,
fair.
He does. He's passionate about it. He travels overseas to spread the gospel of the NFL.
Big Tom Brady guy. Huge Tom Brady guy. 16 days until MLS opening day on March 2nd. All the coverage, MLSsoccer.com. We're going to have pre- and post-game shows throughout that weekend for you. So tune in on @MLS on Twitter, Facebook, the site, et cetera, et cetera. We're about to hit our previews. If you haven't listened to Monday's show, go back. We called them the bottom feeders. That was a little unkind. The teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. And
we actually got a question about
that. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So mailbag, that will come up again. Cincinnati, San Jose, Orlando, Colorado, Chicago, Minnesota, New England. That was Monday's show. Today we're going to hit Philly, New York City, LA Galaxy, Dallas, Columbus, and Vancouver. Basically two teams that have new leaders in the front office or in the coach. Ernst Tanner, Domi Tarrant, that happened partially last year. And then new coaches in LA, Dallas, Columbus, and Vancouver. Sam Stachel is about to join us to talk through all the news going on. Eduardo Vargas to Portland, Darlington Nagby's crew, Racine rumors, Pozuelo and Toronto FC, et cetera, et cetera. But it is a special day. It is Valentine's Day. Mm. And I don't want to know how you fell in love with the game of soccer. I just want to know what you're doing different today. This is the first time, I believe, that all the Extra Time Radio hosts on a Valentine's Day both love someone and have that person love them back.
Mm.
I was a prime.
This is going into a weird place.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Fine. We can back out.
Yeah, I'm already out.
I can hit reverse on this one. Does that mean you didn't do anything for Valentine's Day for your significant other, or?
Well, I did. The question is, when will this show come out? When will she listen to it?
Right. She listens? Hey.
She listens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She travels a lot for work, so it's her way to make it feel like we're together sometimes.
Wow.
She doesn't listen when she's in New York, for sure.
That's enough then.
I got a copious amount of flowers. I've been told multiple times I wish it was like we lived in fresh meadows with fresh flowers all the time. So I definitely went for quantity over quality and got the cheapest stuff I could get, but like a ton of it. So it feels like we live in the outsides
that's
now.
Something. That's
outdoors,
something.
Outsides.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did.
In your apartment? Good. your apartment is just filled with flowers. Yeah. So when she comes home from work,
so lots of little cups and vases.
Yeah, filled with flowers.
Well done. That's good stuff.
Did you pick these flowers yourself?
Or no, I did not. But the thing is, she loves candles, and I can never set up a situation where the candles are lit when we walk in because I have such a paranoia of everything burning down. So flowers, it turns out, won't light the whole apartment on fire. So I was able to do that.
Bobby, you seem like a guy who would put too much thought into a day like this.
And then do nothing.
Right. And then just get overwhelmed and be like, short circuit.
Well, let me teach you guys something.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
If you do it right all the time,
nice.
You don't need to do anything extraordinary on a specific day.
Wow. So you always put the seat down. You take out the trash at all times.
I've been told back rubs.
On demand.
You started with you always put the seat down. Is there something you'd like to talk about?
No, not at all. That's just like it's a basic thing that you should do, and I'm just thinking of basic things.
I'm just saying, guys, you know, a little note on the pillow in the morning goes a long way. A massage every now and then. A nice dinner.
A nice dinner with like your parents or something.
Right.
Is that inappropriate? Is that an appropriate Valentine's Day?
I do enough nice dinners throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. So that if your parents are in town Valentine's Day, which is also your 1-year anniversary.
It does, yeah.
Your anniversary is Valentine's
Whoa.
Day?
You are going out to dinner with your parents.
Sorry, can I ask you this question,
Valentine's
though?
Day.
Because I actually am genuinely curious about this. What is your anniversary of? What is it from? What did you choose?
Us meeting. But this was a conversation we had.
We still have this conversation. We have differing views on it.
I'm avoiding the awkwardness of really digging into it. So we just decided to stick with the day we met.
Sounds like very Bobby.
And since it was Valentine's Day, there's absolutely no pressure on that at all. It's definitely the most logical way to do it. All right, let's get into...
Weeby, you clearly want to say something. You
got
to say
your
thing now.
You know what? I got a nice little date planned. Don't worry about it. We're going to do a little pottery, maybe go out to dinner.
Ooh,
it's going to be a good day. Yeah, maybe
you really planned.
Watch some CCL highlights on the back end. Nice. Just together, you know, on the couch with a nice glass of red. All right, let's get into it. Sam Stachel's on the line now. Sam, what's up, man?
Not too much, guys. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. How's Boston treating you?
Boston's good. Just settling in. I'm trying to be a Northeasterner now, so we'll see how that goes.
Like Northeasterner?
Like go Huskies.
Go Dogs?
Yeah,
or
go Huskies.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. All right. Let's get into the news of the day. You've reported this, so have many others, including Jeff Carlisle at ESPN. Portland have been looking for a number 9. We thought it was going to be like young DP. Now it looks like it's going to be established, i.e., Eduardo Vargas, if it goes through, a reported $10 million bid. What's going on here?
Yeah, so first things first, by no means is this one done, right? This is a complicated one, as a lot of these MLS deals are becoming, increasingly so. And there's no sure thing that Portland are going to be able to get this across the line. From what I understand, it's not quite a $10 million bid, or at least last I heard, which was probably about 24 hours ago, it wasn't that. Looking more in like the 8.5-9 range. But we'll see. Obviously, it would be a significant get for the Timbers. And you mentioned one thing I wanted to hit on. You know, initially they were going after Julian Quiñones from Tigres. There were rumors about them going after Ezequiel Ponce. I'm told that those weren't super serious talks that they were in there. Both of those players were 21. The initial thought was to go young, kind of go that Atlanta model, get a young guy in, have him be a star for a couple of years, then maybe sell him on. But that thinking has sort of changed for the Timbers when Vargas became available. He's 29, so obviously a different model, but they looked at him, they looked at his pedigree, they liked it, and they said, all right, this guy can come in and really maximize the remaining window we have with Diego Valeri and Diego Chara, both of whom are 32, and really give us the opportunity to make another really good run at MLS Cup. So that's kind of the thinking behind it for the Timbers. So we'll see whether or not they can get it done and get it across the line.
Do you think it's likely to get done? I mean, this could change the profile of the Western Conference completely, I think.
I mean, that would be a guess, right? But I'll make a guess for you. I'll say it gets done, but I don't know when he arrives. How about that?
Interesting.
So it could be a situation where he comes in now. It could be a situation where maybe he comes in later, either towards the end of the primary transfer window, in early May, or maybe in July. But again, that's speculation and a guess at this point. So, you know, really, I probably shouldn't have even made it, but I'm here for you, Evie. So
all right. I appreciate you. Thank you for jumping out there on that limb for us. All right, Sam. Darlington Nagbe is not training with Atlanta United. The rumors are that he wants to go to Columbus Crew, that he wants to be reunited with Caleb Porter. Are there truth to those rumors?
Yeah, or at least it was true. And the other part is Ohio is home for Nagby and his family. So that's another factor that should not be overlooked here. But from what I understand, Atlanta want to keep him around. So I think they're doing what they can at this point to make that happen. He's under contract through 2020, so he only has so much power in this situation. So that's one that I expect to get sorted out probably within the next few days. Atlanta begin CCL play, I believe, next Thursday. So they don't have a long runway. I know they obviously want to make a good run in the competition. Nagby was an important player for them last year, and they want to figure out whether or not he's going to be with them in that competition starting next week, I'm sure as soon as possible. So we'll see on that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if they go the route of a trade, how much they'll be able to get back for him. You know, teams have spent a lot of allocation money at this point. I'm not sure exactly how much Columbus has. But, you know, Atlanta sent $1 million to Portland last year for Nagy. So I don't know if they're going to be getting that return if they do decide to trade him. But we'll see. That's one that's pretty up in the air at the moment.
Chrissy did get some allocation money, though. Traded Kakuta Mane, or I should say the rights to him, to FC Cincinnati for, to start, $300,000, $250,000 in TAM, $50,000 in GAM. It could rise to $400,000. Just, I don't know, March 2017, they paid Tony Chani $225,000 in TAM and $75,000 in GAM to get him. So they basically recoup their investment. Mane's back. Will he be successful, Sam? Why is he back? What's this move mean for FC Cincinnati?
Well, why is he back? It's because he didn't play, basically, in the year that he was gone. You know, he went down to Mexico, didn't get pretty much any run there. He was over in Switzerland for the last few months. I think he only played in 7 games, didn't really start many of them. So for him, coming back, I'm sure, is a question of playing time. You know, he's still a young player. We all remember him from when he was doing really well in Vancouver a few years ago, a guy who can run past anybody on the field. And when he's on, can finish pretty well. You know, he's got that little shot, that little roller from outside the top of the box that he seems to really love. So if he can refine his form that he had in Vancouver, it's a really, really solid signing for Cincinnati, who desperately need attacking players, even still. It fits their profile in terms of, you know, being a counterattacking team that's going to defend first and try and hit you on the break. You know, he's another guy that can fly, just like Darren Maddux. So that's interesting. But again, it's a case of Cincinnati going out and using that allocation money to acquire players and not to buy players down, which is interesting. You know, that's not the approach that most teams take. I mean, obviously teams trade allocation money, but they try and keep it so they can pay down salaries as well. And Cincinnati aren't going to have a ton left to be able to do that. I don't think that'll, you know, that's not going to kill them this season, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out down the road, in terms of what they're able to do with guaranteed contracts coming back in 2020 and 2021 and so on.
Kind of feels like, Sam, that they are banking on more allocation money coming into the league, which may not be a bad bet on their part. You also think about what Peter Vermees said recently and how they get to 8 players above that max charge. Well, it's by accumulating allocation money. That's Sam Stachel. Thanks, Sam. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Sam doing his thing, bird-dogging around MLS. You know how to follow him on Twitter. Check him out at MLSsoccer.com. Some other news for you. The Red Bulls have officially signed Mathias Jorgensen, a Danish teenage forward. Spent reportedly more than a couple million dollars on him. So that's a big move for the Red Bulls.
And Jorgensen seems to fit exactly what the Red Bulls want out of a center striker. Going back through his clips, he runs off the back shoulder. He's has the pace to actually stretch the field for the team. He's got a really impressive motor and desire to press, and actually a pretty good sense for a young player of the angles and way to press. So I'm really excited to see how they use Jorgensen.
Interesting to see them spend that amount of money on a player who may not be able to contribute right away, because ultimately they're still in a mode of trying to get some trophies. Other news out here, you might want to go read up on Wangum Boam's signing to the Vancouver Whitecaps. There is some drama around that one related to a failed move to Germany, some agents. Go look that one up. Should be interesting. Let's get into the previews now, though. We're going to start with Philly. 5 minutes on the clock, Dave. State of the club in one sentence, ins and outs. Team MVP will be unsung hero, the player kids candidate, the burning question, the goal for the season, predictions, a.k.a. whatever we can get to in 5 minutes. Bobby, you got the honors. State of the club in one sentence.
For the Philadelphia Union, sometimes the best way to get beyond a wall is not to knock it down. It's to find the route around.
I mean, you around. You were very proud of that one, and then you stumbled on it.
Did you reverse it? Did you reverse it? Because, like, last year with possession, you could say they were playing around the wall, but now with the press, it feels like they're knocking it down.
Well, there
sometimes
is a clear...
the best way around a wall isn't actually around the wall. Sometimes you should just knock it down. There That's is, the Union in 2019.
There is a clear wall.
Uh-huh.
The spending, right? They've been very honest with their fans that they're under financial or resource constraints that other teams aren't. How do you knock down that wall, or how do you get beyond it? Well, last year they tried to create a coherent possession system, and this year they're going to try and go a different route, which is pressing. So, yes, Matt, yours would have also worked, but mine was better.
Helped that they spent a couple million on Marco Fabian. Let's get to the ins and outs real quick. Fabian is obviously the big one here. Brendan Aaronson signed as a homegrown. That happened last year. He might have played the 10 if they didn't sign Fabian. Sergio Santos brought in on TAM. They beat out Necaxa to get him in Liga MX. Some other homegrowns here. Aurelien Calen joins as a free agent. You have a goalkeeper that came in from Red Bull Salzburg, not likely to play over Andre Blank. And then Kai Wagner, left back out of the German third division, who, you know, some people have kind of raised their eyebrows at, but we'll see. Maybe Ernst Tanner's scouting is good on that one. Who's the team MVP, though? And if someone says David Akam, I don't know. Someone.
Is it possible?
If someone says David Akam.
Is it possible to win league MVP but not be your team's MVP?
Ooh, sounds like a Diego column.
Diego Valeri.
No, that's a good point, actually.
I actually did this column yesterday.
Who's the MVP going to be of this team?
I mean, they better hope it's Fabian. Because if he plays like he did the first half of this decade, and he's still only 29, he could be one of the best attacking players in this league. And if he is that, I think they have the pieces around him to be a top two or three team in the East.
No disagreement there. It's got to be Fabian. Based on the investment, based on the profile, based on the position.
I'm going to say Madunian.
Really?
Yeah, because the way this team's set up, I think he's going to struggle. And if he doesn't, I think it's going to mean that the midfield works.
But if he struggles, I think they just move Derek Jones back there.
Maybe, but that's an unproven player playing at that position. The guy's never played heavy professional soccer minutes. It's not a guarantee that that works. Also, if it works for him, I think Jones and Bedoya will be successful as the shuttlers or whatever it is alongside him. I think it'll be a good team if he's successful. If not, everything becomes a question mark.
So you say shuttlers. That is a reference, of course, for our listeners here, that this is going to be a diamond. 4-4-2, you got two strikers up top. Big and little is the assumption here. So you're talking about a mix of maybe CJ Sapong and Fafa Picot or Sergio Santos and Corey Burke. I mean, they are loaded at the forward position. To go back to the style, though, here's how Jay Sugarman, the owner, described it. It's kind of this power press, or I was calling it a hunter killer. What does that mean, and how do you press out of a diamond? I mean, I'm asking for myself, but I'm also asking for everybody else at home that maybe, you know, isn't as tactically savvy as you two fine gentlemen here.
I don't know, and I don't know. A press is supposed to cover quite a bit of the field. The diamond is a naturally very narrow formation. I do wonder if maybe Madunian drops back and then both fullbacks push up. So when they're pressing, it almost looks like a 3-4-3 or even a 3-3-4 at times.
Bobby, which is what I would have said, even though I wasn't one of the tactical people in this
room.
Sorry,
my bad.
No, cool. Let's talk to the two.
You have two basic options on the way you press out of a diamond. One is you split the center strikers wide. You play some version of a 4-1-3-2, but the center strikers are split wide to do the function of pushing them toward the middle, toward where all the players are, and then it's just getting pressure on the ball and hunting with your numerical advantage in the middle. The other thing you can do, which is what RB Leipzig does in Germany, is actually go to a 4-4-2 defensively, and you put what would be your shuttlers out wide, or maybe you put your number 10 out wide, and then when you watch Leipzig, their wide players actually tuck in, and it functions as a diamond offensively with the outside backs getting around. So defensively, it can just look like a generic 4-4-2.
Interesting. All right. Player kids, we know about this team. They do it. Austin Trusty, Mark McKenzie, probably your starters. Olivier Mbazo, probably the right back here, and he's just barely too old for 22 under 22. Brendan Aaronson might have been the other candidate there. I'm just happy Derek Jones seems to be able to get a shot in this team. We've been waiting so, so long. The goal for the season and predictions. Is this a playoff team?
I think so, but the floor could drop out because we don't know if they could play like this. We don't know if Jim Curtin, who I think is a good coach for what he did last year, I don't know if he can coach a press. There's a lot of variables with this Philadelphia Union. Goal should be win a playoff game.
All right, there is the buzzer there. I think I'm gonna parrot you on that one. You got to win a playoff game if you're this team, especially given the investment in Marco Fabiano and the expanded playoff field. I think they will make the playoffs.
Well, there's a longer conversation to be had about the fact that the East could be soft this year.
Mm-hmm. A lot of great players left the East. Villa's gone, Javinko's gone, Yanhel Herrera's gone. Oh, look, I'm already talking about NYCFC.
Yeah, there you go. NYCFC, get us on the clock here, Dave. And Doyle, start us. The state of the club in one sentence.
The Patrick Vieira era has officially come to a close. Let's let Dome cook.
Bobby was rooting for you to fail so hard right there.
No, I just wanted – I thought you were going to rhyme. I mean, I set a high bar, and here you are.
Dr. Seuss, huh? Dr. Seuss.
Oh, my God, Weavey. No, right. Look, I mean, the club as it was last year, even after Vieira left, was Patrick Vieira's club. And Dome Torrent came in, and I thought he changed too much and tinkered too much, and they suffered for it. Well, that's no longer an issue. He has brought in the guys that he wants. He has been there for 7-8 months now. He's gotten a full preseason. This is his team. If they're good, it's in large part because of him. If they're bad, it's in large part because of him.
All right, the ins and outs. David Villa, that's the biggest out. The other massive out here, Joe Ingeborget. Sorry, my bad. Sorry. Also, some big ones here. Yanhel Herrera. That's the other really, really big one for them. They've lost some other quasi starters. Eloy Almagat just didn't do the job when he came over last year. Sad to see Tommy Mack go, but hopefully he gets some more time in Houston. On the ins. Homegrown Justin Hack is a guy that obviously Ben Bear is over the moon for. Keaton Parks is a big one. On loan from Benfica, we get to see the young U.S. international, or youth international, I should say, play a little bit.
No, he's a full U.S. international.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alexandru Mitrita is the big, big one. I mean, almost $10 million for this guy from Romania. So they're expecting him to replace some of the goals, some of the assists for David Villa. Who is the MVP with the MVP gone? Because David Villa was the MVP for 3 years. Who will it be?
It has to be Mitrita. This team could change. What they do could change. But you're trying to replace what Villa brought. They haven't brought pieces in to say, oh, it's by committee. We're replacing him by committee. So I'm going to say Mitrita.
I think it's Maxi Morales. I think he was, honestly, last year in large part that player because David Villa was in and out of the lineup. I think Morales is going to make all of this go ultimately. And I just don't want to put that pressure, or wouldn't want to put that pressure, I should say, on Mitrita right off the bat. Who would be the unsung hero here?
Probably Alex Ring. Because if that midfield is going to function at a high level, and it really needs to, Ring is going to have to be the man. And I think I love Keaton Parks, but he's a different kind of guy than Yanhel Herrera was. Yanhel Herrera was everywhere. Keaton Parks is more of a get on the ball, play out of danger. That means, I think, and doesn't have as much of a defensive presence, that means Ring is going to have to eat for two, so to speak.
I'm going to go with Ismail Tajiri Shradi. You got to find goals from somewhere to replace what David Villa did. Tajiri Shradi is a guy who's really, his biggest contribution is just goals. Just getting around the box, putting shots on frame. Sometimes they go in, sometimes it's spectacular, sometimes it's a little bit ugly. Is Keaton Parks the play your kids bet
he's
here?
He's 22. He's not really a kid.
Yeah, but I don't see anybody else on this team.
I mean, well, Jonathan Lewis and
James Sands and Hack and Scally.
Hack and Scally aren't going to play.
Okay, but they go on that list.
Juan Pablo Torres was ahead of Sands on the USU 20 team. He actually played for that group that just beat the hell out of everybody in CONCACAF. There's a bunch of them. I think Lewis and Parks are both going to play, but neither of those guys are even 22 under 22 anymore. So if you want to look for one of the kids who I think will break through, it's Sands.
I want to say Joe Scally is number two on their depth chart at right back. So if anything happens to Anton Tinnerholm, Joe Scally might be their only option. Just wanted to point that out.
That's fair.
What's the burning question? It's got to be Dome Torrent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Dome coach. they were terrible under him last year. They got bad across the board. And in terms of eye test, in terms of box score stats, in terms of underlying stats over the course of his 4 months in charge.
To provide a quick counter to that, and I'm not saying I disagree, Matt, but this is worth pointing out.
Yeah.
In the time that Dome was there, they didn't have Yanhel Herrera. They didn't really have David Villa. They didn't really have Jesus Medina, as he was kind of hurt, potentially going to get transferred. And there are a lot of coaches and a lot of teams in this league that would struggle if they were missing three players of that caliber. So that deserves to be noted. And then when Herrera and everyone was back, they looked like a juggernaut for those last two or three games
no,
of the year.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
When they beat up on Philly.
They beat Philly twice at home, and they got pantsed by Atlanta.
They did not get pantsed.
They
Nobody,
got pantsed.
No, 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 no.
They you got pantsed by Atlanta.
You can't include that Atlanta game. That Atlanta game was so
Let me
weird.
Throw one small one in. Who is Jesus Medina? Because he was one of the best players the first two and a half months of the season. He was not the same guy after that. Whether it's Villa's presence, whether it's the question of what his position is, if he's 2 1-foot dominant and everyone figured him out, whatever it was, he could be a big piece for them.
The goal, probably not the same as last year, which was to be among the top three teams in the league, which they were for a time and then faded away. Playoff team, yes or no? Because we got to move on.
No.
No. Wow. Even though you're saying the East might be soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really don't know.
No, that's not how this
that's
works.
That's not how predictions work.
that's how it works sometimes.
I feel the same way as Bobby, but I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. But I think it's going to be an up-and-down season. There's not going to be the sort of situation where they jump out and we're saying this is one of the best teams in the
but
league.
But their defensive six is the exact same as last year. There are a few teams in MLS that have that continuity in a place where you want it. So that can help them get through the beginning of the season if a guy like Matrite has to find his feet, whatnot.
All right, we're going to the break. On the other side, clubs with new managers, LA Galaxy, Dallas, Columbus, and Vancouver. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental Hitting the Galaxy, FC Dallas, Columbus Crew, and Vancouver Whitecaps, keeping our previews rolling. But during the break here, Bobby, you were like ranting and raving about the Eastern Conference.
I just want to go back to my I don't know comment. And if you look at the East, we'll say Atlanta probably in. On the other side of that, Orlando, as it stands right now, probably out. I don't feel great about the Revs because there's 9 teams left, and I don't know how you look at any of those 9 teams and feel that much better about one than the other. I'll say, sorry, Red Bulls and Atlanta are in, so we have 8 teams left. You know, Chicago, Columbus, D.C. Like, do you feel that much better about D.C. than you do New York or Philadelphia or Toronto?
I do. D.C.'s the one team, I actually
think. Yeah, I think D.C.'s top three, right?
Yeah.
With the Red Bulls and Atlanta.
So add them to the third. So there's 4 other spots that
I could absolutely see NYCFC coming in. But unlike you, I'm not a center forward, right? I'm just sitting here spraying the ball around, making plays for the rest of my teammates. And they ask me for a prediction. I give him a prediction.
Wait. You're spraying the ball around?
Yeah, I'm spraying
the ball. It's more like you're looking at us and waving us off. Like, we're making the runs. We're throwing our hands up. We're like, can you just pass me the ball?
I am honoring your runs, okay?
All right. That's what I could run, but I could do this better.
But to be fair to Bobby, when you talk about top three, top four, all the next teams, Columbus, change of coach, change of everything. Philly, change of style. Montreal was a question mark last year. New England as well. So I get what he's saying in that. There are just question marks across the board in the Eastern Conference. I don't know that it'll be worse, but there are going to be surprises.
I want to challenge your DC United point, but I'll save that for when we get to the DC United episode.
Okay, we will do that. LA Galaxy,
you have the
5 minutes on the clock here?
I do.
I have the Galaxy, state of the club in one sentence. Designated player math is off. Backline is a question mark still, but Guillermo and Zlatan are going to be real fun. This team could zigzag, could seesaw, could yo-yo. They could be the best team in the West, I think. They could be out of the playoffs, and I wouldn't be that surprised about them either. There's the back line, just it still scares me, but everything about it is fun to me. And I know folks at home are like, oh, you're Landon Donovan Shrine. I'm like, yeah, it's well-maintained, for sure.
So you're a San Diego Soccer fan now is what you're saying.
You know what? I don't know. Maybe it's...
He's a Santos fan.
Yeah.
Not a Leon.
Yeah, sorry, more of a Leon guy, for sure. And then,
they're going to do all this
pick
with,
up in Southeast
they're
Asia.
They're going to do all this with 4 DPs?
That's what I'm saying. That's why the first one there is the DP math is off. Because it's off. And Paul Tenorio had an interesting article today in The Athletic talking about what they might do, how other people around the league think about that. I thought Alexi Lawless had a great response on Twitter. Bobby, you shared that one with me, basically saying MLS will do what it thinks is best for MLS. And that may be
so the guy who
away.
Used to manage the Metro Star / Red Bulls in
right,
LA Galaxy at
yeah.
a time.
He knows what he knows a little something about having the rules tweaked, huh? ins and outs. take a quick look at these right now for the LA Galaxy. I guess you could say Zlatan is in on 7 mil. I mean, he was quote-unquote Tam.
There actually hasn't been a lot of roster change, right? There hasn't been a lot of turnover for a team that missed the playoffs, what, two straight years, has a brand-new coach, a new technical director.
So out, Michael Cioni. He was not a good defender in this league. Out, Ashley Cole. He had good moments and bad moments. Shannon Williams is gone on the back line. Baji Husidic is gone. They re-signed Emma Boateng. In, Juninho, probably not going to play a big role. Lamson, backup goalkeeper. Uriel Antuna, he could play on loan
for
Manchester City.
For sure.
Diego Polenta, he could definitely play, a center back who, this is one of the craziest stories of the offseason, of which there are many. He took off like 6 months and went and lived in the countryside because he wanted a break. This is a guy who had been playing a ton in like the Argentine League, had been at big clubs, had won championships in Uruguay, and he was just like, you know what? I'm walking away for a little while. That's your ins and outs. Is the team MVP anybody but Zlatan? I'm going to ask you, Bobby, because you will say definitely it's somebody else.
No, I think it's going to be Zlatan. And I expect Zlatan this year to put up less numbers but have a larger overall impact in the team. Because I still think for as phenomenal as he was in 2018, he let his team down a little bit. He wasn't – and I don't know what they needed, but he didn't step up and fill that void. So I expect Zlatan to be even more fantastic in 2019, but in a very different way.
What was the void? Like cloning himself
center,
and playing center back?
Like,
how many times do we go over this? You can fix your defense in other ways except getting new defenders, right? You can. Did Zlatan ever press? Did he ever counter press? Did he ever transition react? The answer is no to all of them, and he still did fantastic things. But to say he's not at all tied to, not to mention his body language when his teammates messed up, to say he's not at all tied to their misgivings defensively is just flat out inaccurate.
I mean, that's like having Swiss cheese for a sail and blaming the wind. I made that one up.
I was like, what is this? What is this hayseed prairie idiom that you just brought to Extra Time Radio?
That's not on the prairie. We don't have any like actual – we don't have any like open sea in the prairie. Unsung hero. Who's it going to be? They're going to have one. Who is it?
Mine's a bad answer, but it's Jonathan Dos Santos because he's going to cover every inch of the field in holes that everyone else is going to leave. And he wasn't that guy last year. He has been that guy in his career. And when he does it, he would be one of the best players in MLS. If he can do it, then that's who.
Daniel Starris. I actually think they need one of the sort of really nondescript center backs they have to step up and be a guy who gives them 2,000, 2,500 solid minutes. I think Starris can maybe be that guy. Then again, it might be Romney if they decide they need the left footer instead. One of those two guys.
And we should point out in reference to Jonathan Dos Santos that in preseason so far they've played a 4-4-2 with Kamara up top with Zlatan, Alessandrini on one side, Antuna started on the other side. So just keep that in reference with Dos Santos and Legette in the middle together.
All right, how about play your kids? Efren Alvarez, Araujo is apparently signed.
They have four designated players. They're not playing Efren Alvarez.
I just threw it out there because everybody wants to talk about it.
But this is the most experience is the wrong word. I don't know. Geriatric team in the league. Like, it's just they have four. They go four deep of experienced players in some of these positions. Although then at left back they have no one in their roster. It's just.
Don't talk about Jorgen.
Fair, but who's behind him? Yeah. So it's just there just doesn't seem to be any space for any of these young players. Hilliard Arce can't even get minutes.
All right, Julian Araujo, I think at right back could be one if Rolf Feltzer gets hurt again. Playoff team, not a playoff team. Anything else? MLS Cup? You have big predictions?
Playoff team. It's got to be to win a playoff round.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't think you could predict MLS Cup. You know, maybe things. Maybe things change. I doubt it, though. Like this is not a 65-point team.
Anybody have them out of the playoffs?
I've got them on the bubble, but in. Ultimately,
okay.
I'm the same as Bobby.
There. Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving. Dallas, 5 minutes on the clock, please.
Can I ask a quick controversial question, Andrew?
Sure, yeah.
Who do you guys have ahead right now, Minnesota or the Galaxy?
The Galaxy.
Galaxy.
That's my bubble between those two teams.
The Galaxy, for sure. Okay. Dallas, 5 minutes on the clock. Get it started. State of the club, Dave.
It won't be pretty, but finally what they say is what you'll see. They've talked about being the homegrown team, being the youth team, playing a certain way for years. Hasn't really been that way. They've got a USL team. They've got Luchi Gonzalez stepping up from the youth academy. He's going to play a lot of the young guys. He's going to give them chances. I think he's going to have them play in a way where they – they'll believe in themselves. And that may not mean they win a lot of games. They may not even make the playoffs, but I think those players are going to step out there with confidence. They're going to battle. And if I was a fan of that team, I would enjoy it. Because the hope would be this is the first year of what is 3 or 4 years of slow growth into one of the best teams in MLS.
Ins and outs. Outs. Minor Figueroa. Roland Lama. Teixeira Candele. Maxi Arruti. Victor Yua. I mean, this is a guy who was kind of one of their homegrown shining lights. And then, of course, Chris Richards was sold to Bayern Munich.
FC Hollywood coming out with some music now.
The ins, you got a super draft guy, you got a homegrown, they've got a center back, Bresson from Grêmio, and then I'm not even going to try here.
Andrashek?
Yeah. Zdenek?
The Cobra.
Yeah,
is
the Cobra.
His name?
The Cobra.
Okay, there we go. We're going to just call him
yeah,
the Cobra.
Here's something I can pronounce. Yes, the Cobra. The Cobra
from Krakow.
Yeah.
In Poland. Yeah. So he's hopeful to like be kind of the big guy up front.
Did you say?
But
who did I miss?
Didn't they sign a DP? Did you not say it? From Honduras?
Oh, yeah, Brian Acosta.
Did they sign him?
Yeah, they signed him.
Oh, it got done?
It very, very below the radar.
Yeah, clearly, man. Way out of the radar.
The Honduras central midfielder, Brian Acosta. I don't see him as a DP-level player. He's a good player. Right, and he's someone who 5 years ago, when he first broke on the scene, I was like, some MLS team should sign him for $50,000, and instead, 5 years later, they get him for $3 million. But he's just a guy. I don't think he's a centerpiece.
Who's the centerpiece? Who's the MVP?
That's the question. I think the MVP is still the back line collectively. I still think this is a team that gives up 40 goals. The real question is mid-season after Copa America, what happens to Carlos Grezo?
I think that's why you sign,
Brian Acosta.
Yeah, I think that's where that. And for honestly, I think they'd be lucky if they get money for Grezo.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
that great.
I fully agree with you. So I think that would be phenomenal. Plus, you have guys in your academy that you like at central midfield,
right,
that you want to get minutes
and
to.
Brandon Cervani is still only 19 years old, so you give him half a season with North Texas, and then come July, you plug him right into the lineup, or you have him behind, say, Ja'Cory Hayes.
Yeah, maybe Ja'Cory Hayes is that guy for them. Who's the unsung hero?
Dominique Badji.
Woo! Big Dom Badji guy.
Big Dom Badji guy.
Huge Dom Badji guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been scoring goals in preseason.
You guys fighting each other to see who's a better Dom
Badji. We could, though. We take your headset off. Let's get after it.
He's holding off the Cobra for the starting spot, too.
I know. I mean,
we should point out that right now they're playing a 4-3-3, but have switched the triangle in the middle with Grayso as a single pivot and two, much like Berhalter did with his attacking midfielders in the national team, to, how did you call them, Matt?
Eight and a halves or free eights is what the
what the
kids call it. It's Pomacall. Pomacall's one, and then right now it's Ja'Cory Hayes, but it'll probably be Brian Acosta as the other one. And then two wings, it's Santi Mistagara on the left side and Michael Barrios on the right side. It's a hyper-mobile front six. Mm-hmm. Like, this team is born to press, and I think they're going to I like Paxton Pomacall a lot. He's not a 10. Like, he's not a guy who carves open the game with a single touch, but he's always around the ball. He creates chances just by being miserable to play against and good to play with.
That's the player kids right there, Paxton Pomacall. We've been waiting a long time for that. And hopefully North Texas helps them keep that pipeline rolling. What's the burning question?
Also Jesus Ferreira.
Yeah, Jesus Ferreira too. Burning question.
I think Pomacall's going to start, though. I think Ferreira starts the year on the bench.
Appreciate you ignoring me moving it on. No, I'm just kidding. Burning question and the goal for the season. Can we just combine those?
Do they just have enough talent is my question. I think I'm excited to see what Lucci Gonzalez does in terms of their playing style. I'm excited to see what he does in terms of developing players, but in MLS now, you always have to ask the question, do you have enough basic talent to compete with some of the teams?
And on top of that, depth. Because as guys get hurt, you're going to be starting three or four of these inexperienced players together. And how much harder is it to get your job done when you don't have veterans around you?
Goal for the season, and I think that can mix in with predictions for us.
Get to the playoffs. Give us proof of concept with the academy kids, the way the Red Bulls did, 2015, 16, 17, as they became the Red Bulls.
So do they make the playoffs?
I think they do.
Seven teams got again? I think they do too, and I think it goes back to what you said, defense.
Yeah.
I think defensively, they're going to be better than Minnesota. They're going to be better than San Jose. They're going to probably be better than Houston.
They're going to be better than the team with Ike Opara and Ozzie Alonso?
I think that's a big step forward for Minnesota. I don't think it solves all their problems, and those guys just got there. One of them gets hurt. One of them doesn't play at the level they did before. Everything could change. It might not even matter. I think they're going to get into the playoffs, FC Dallas. I think they'll be right at the edge, but I think they do it. All right, keep it moving. Who's up next here? It is you, Bobby, and Columbus Crew is your team. Start the 5 minutes.
A new era with the mantra, do the same, but better.
What does that mean to you? Do the same. Because Caleb Porter, when he talked to us at Combine, though he praised Greg Berhalter and he praised the style of play, he was very clear that he was going to make some pretty significant tweaks in where they want to possess, in where they want to threaten teams, and how they want to build up. And it was so much build from the back, move forward, possess, 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 find that moment to get the big switch, and then go and create a chance for the center forward.
Yeah, I don't know that it was significant changes, though. Sorry, Bobby.
You can argue.
I don't know that they were significant. He specifically said, most of what they do is what I want to do, but you can do it in different ways, right? Okay. So he talked about where you have your possession, when you hit the big switch, what you want their first move to be. But he said, I agree with the soccer tenets of Greg Berhalter, but I think that the way they're carried out can be different.
Not a lot of change here for this team. Mike Grella, Christian Martinez out, Adam John out. Oh, man, love me some pillow feet. In Joe Bendick, backup goalkeeper, maybe until the summer, because remember, Zach Steffen is moving on to Manchester City. J.J. Williams, GA forward in the draft, but he's third on the depth chart behind Jesse Zardes and Patrick Mullins. Rubinho from Brazil, competing at one of those outside mid positions, a homegrown Abubakar Keita, and then Waylon Francis in because Milton Valenzuela tore his ACL. Who is the MVP of this team?
Artur.
That's who I was going to go with. I was hoping somebody else would go with that.
If you look at the way Caleb Porter used Diego Chara as a guy who was kind of all over the field on both sides of the ball, I think that's what we'll see out of Artur. I think he's going to be super influential.
I'm going to keep banging the Harrison Offal drum. I mean, I think he's always been the MVP of this team. He is the best overall player on this team.
Wait a minute. Harrison Offal's always been the MVP of this team?
Yes. He has always made room for what Pipa Higuain has done.
Explain that, because I would argue that Pipa is more crucial to them, at least ceiling-wise. Like, I would argue that you could put in Hector Jimenez and still be a pretty good team, whereas if you take away Higuain out of this team, I don't see it.
Harrison Offal could both possess out of the back and take the ball under extreme pressure and find options. He can get down the wing and stretch the field. He is the basic foundation of everything Berhalter wanted to do. And Pipa was very important, and I'm not really going to fight that hard to say that Pipa wasn't the most important player, but for the way I see what's important to the Columbus Crew, it was Harrison Offal and his array of skills, and especially in how they relate to the basic principles of what possession soccer is.
Would that make him more the unsung hero? I guess for you, he's the MVP, but you could also make that exact same argument you just did as the unsung hero, because people would probably look at Pipa Higuain. If you're going for a different unsung hero, who might it be? Who does it have to be for this team to be good?
Well, I think my answer might go more in MVP, but Justin Miram. This was one of the best defensive teams in the league last year, and they were, I think, second to last in the East in goals scored. And I don't think Pedro Santos, that guy, we've seen that. There's not much higher of a ceiling for Jesse Zardes in this team, and we're going to say this every year, but Higuain's older and blah, blah, blah. Miram didn't come back. He wasn't the exact same guy, but you saw flashes of it. And so the one is, what's the connection between him and Porter? Clearly, Berhalter got the best out of him. Clearly, what happened in Orlando was not good for him. So he's not going to operate well in every system. But if he can be Justin Miram to some extent, it changes his team ceiling.
I don't think there's really a play your kids option.
No.
In the Crew?
I mean, maybe J.J. Williams. Because like, people look at him and say, yeah, he's just a big guy. He can't, you know, he's not the type of striker who can, who you can play through a little bit. But I actually think he's got a little touch on the ball. He seems to make some decent runs in the attacking third. It wouldn't shock me if he climbed the depth chart throughout the year at center forward. But it's a
over your guy?
Over Patrick Mullins? I sold him on my Patrick Mullins stock. Sorry.
All right. Burning question / goal for the season. The burning question has to center around Caleb Porter. No?
Yeah, how much of Greg Berhalter's system will he keep? That's the big one. I think it's a great system. I think that they were one goal-scoring winger away from being, you know, a top-three team in the league last year.
I mean, I wonder just will it work? Caleb Porter was up and down in Portland. The ups were really good. The downs weren't terrible, but they were out of the playoffs. It was a yo-yo.
It's pretty terrible to miss the playoffs in MLS.
Yeah, well, when you have Valerian, Turan, et cetera, et cetera. So which Porter will we see as far as the trend, and what did he do in the last year that makes him better prepared, fresher, whatever it might be, to come in? All right, there's the bell. Does anyone expect this team to miss the playoffs? No playoffs for Crew.
To me, they're a bubble team.
Bubble team?
Yeah.
Because of the winger issues.
Because of the winger issues, because Pipa's a year older, because you don't know if Porter's going to want to tear some stuff down before he builds the team and what he wants to see.
I'll be interested to see what this team looks like in August compared to what it looks like in March.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had time to change the roster, Bezbachenko and Porter. So the question is, do they just wait the season because you're going to get better options in the winter and because you want to have a preseason with those guys and build from there? Or do they try and make a major overhaul in the summer, depending on, one, how the team is doing, and two, the type of team Porter wants?
And also the ownership wants. Remember, there is a new group in charge of this. Precourt's no longer there. Austin, he goes. And so we'll see if the Haslams and the Edwards do something different with the spending profile that the Crew have. Let's go to Vancouver to finish it off for this preview. You want to give me the timer here in 1 second, and it is you, Doyle. So bring the magic, the state of the club in one sentence.
Before you can rebuild, you must clear the rubble. I mean, that's what it is, right?
That was biblical.
they have had more turnover on this roster, I think, than any other team in the league. They're going to have a new style of play. They're probably going to have a new formation as well. They have a new coach, and I am very interested to see what Mark Dos Santos does with this team, but it's going to take a minute.
Are they the biggest question mark to you? Not because of quality, just because you have no idea?
Yeah. I mean, we have some idea. We know that Dos Santos tends to like to play a 4-3-3. He went out and he got two TAM-level wingers for a reason. There's no pure number 10 on this team. He even says he sees Jordi Reyna, who played as a 10 last year, kind of a 10 last year, as more of a winger. So we're pretty sure it's going to be a 4-3-3. We're pretty sure it's not going to be the hoof ball that they played under Carl Robinson. But there remain a lot of questions.
And even in that, all of those names are people that just the bulk of us are not familiar with.
Yep.
The bulk of soccer fans are not familiar with. And so there's question marks of how those guys are going to develop in MLS.
Yeah, there's questions mark about like the recruitment. Did he go out and get the right guys? And I would go through players out here, but it's – I mean, it is like FC Cincinnati players in is Vancouver's players out because they basically just wiped the whole team. Let's go players in here. Zach McBath comes in. You've got PC Giro coming in, Andy Rose, Derek Cornelius, John Arise, who's going to play defensive mid, those TAM wingers, Las Bangura, Lucas Venuto coming from Rayo Vallecano and Austria Wien.
Vallecano.
Sorry, I was trying to rush there. Scott Sutter comes in, Wangan Boehm, Jester Kamiri, Eric Godoy, Joaquin Ardiaz. I mean, this is a completely new team. Is there an MVP candidate that stands out?
I mean, Wangan Boehm. Is the am I even saying that correctly?
In Boehm, I believe.
In Boehm.
Yeah.
Wangan Boehm, given his reputation, what he's done with the South Korean national team, the types of European teams that were after him, you would think that he would have a good chance of being the MVP. If not him, then perhaps Eric Godoy, the center back that they got on loan from Cologne de Santa Fe.
Unsung hero? I mean, it's hard to know. I throw these out there, and I'm like, we don't know who he's going to go with here. We don't know, like, who's unsung.
Everyone?
Yeah, pretty much everyone is unsung.
Whoever
right?
plays goalkeeper, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be McMath, right?
All right, let's give it to McMath.
I'm going to give it to Jake Derwinski.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why? What are his credentials?
Tell him why.
What are the credentials? Go Dogs?
No, is he? Yeah. Do you guys say that?
No.
Yeah,
no,
go why? Huskies.
Go Huskies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, second Husky in Northeast.
Honestly, everybody on this team is an unsung hero if it works out. I guess the one who wouldn't be is probably Las Bangura. Like, he's not an unknown quantity. He's got 100-odd appearances in La Liga, which to me has been the best league in the world for an entire decade. And, like, he's 26, 27 years old. Like, this was a guy who should work out. He shouldn't be unsung for long.
Okay. Unsung hero Matt Doyle for getting an EPL dig in during a Vancouver
nice.
Whitecaps season preview.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's the big question?
Who did Arsenal lose today?
Is there a play your kids here?
I don't know.
I mean, Brett Levis is 25, but he hasn't really played much outside of Vancouver Whitecaps, too. 50 games there, 15 for the first team. But it looks like he'll be the left back. It's not a play your kids situation, but there's no Alphonso Davies in this team.
No. There's, I mean,
but they signed
Ardaiz,
a young,
Ardaiz would be the player.
They just signed
kids.
A young
yeah.
DP.
Yeah,
that's what it
that
is.
Would be the one. Yeah, and look, his resume is good. It's one of those
and
things
Hwang
where like
Boehm is 21, 22?
22.
Yeah,
he's not 222
how about,
eligible.
How about Derek Yukon Cornelius, the 21-year-old Canadian national team defender?
I do not believe he's 22 eligible, but we'll count him. We'll allow it.
21 through the end of the season.
You know
he doesn't turn 22 until the end of November.
You know how off-putting it must be to meet Andrew Wiebe as a young MLS player and him just immediately first thing be like, you're not 22 under 22 eligible.
Hey, man.
Derek Cornelius is our guy.
All right. How about the burning question and the goal for the season?
The burning question is, can you rebuild a team from scratch and make it work in under 1 year? And the goal
I mean,
for
not even under 1 year
and
like
not spend heavily
months.
And not spend heavily. Yeah. On a budget, we'll say. And I think the goal for the season is what? 40 points.
Yeah. No, I would say it's like, you know, get buy-in from the main guys that you need it from Mark Dos Santos, and then don't have postseason press conferences like this last season. That's your goal for the season. Like, don't have it all burned down at the end. Like,
Bobby, are you going to say a single word about the Vancouver Whitecaps?
I'm doing my best not to.
He got saved by the clock.
He
timer
did.
Out.
My prediction is they are not a playoff team.
Yeah, I have them out as well. But I'm excited to see everything that
happens. That's not like a judgment on them as a club or a right. team or Mark Dos Santos as a coach. It's just I think the Western Conference is particularly strong, and they burned it all down.
It's middle heavy, the Western Conference.
Yeah.
There's still some rubble there.
Yeah, there is still some rubble. They haven't cleared it all.
Bobby really loved that.
He did. But he didn't like the Swiss cheese wind and sail.
Oh, my God, Andrew.
It didn't sound like you were saying a Midwestern thing. It sounded like you were a Midwesterner who's like, what's a good, cool French saying? Let me make this thing up. That's what it sounded
Why
like.
Why would it be French?
It's Swiss
because
cheese.
Because you're from Kansas, cheese. And any cheese from Europe is French for you.
Wow, okay.
Boom. Well, we're not that uncultured. Jeez. All right, let's go to break. On the other side, the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want.
Now that I escape, sleep, walk, awake.
Yeah. Back now on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. Into the mailbag here, 401-206-0MLS. Please text us at the Hot Take Hotline with anything and everything that might be going through your mind. You can also email us, extratime@mlssoccer.com. Some reminders before we get to your mail here. February 25th, we're going to YouTube, so you can see us yell at each other and say ridiculous things and, you know, drop MLS knowledge. That ought to be fun.
I just got the worst frog in my throat as I hit the record button.
We have nice. Cough buttons
we
now,
have
buddy.
We have cough buttons.
Yeah, but you're on video, so they're watching you cough.
Right. I also have a fine. Mute button for everyone else, so if I want to mute you, I can mute you. It's a power that I, with great power comes great responsibility. Also, Monday, we are not going to be recording a podcast, but we will release a podcast for you. That is the CCL preview. The games start on Tuesday, so we want to give you a full 48 hours to digest that, to let your fever come to a head. You know, if you have any issues, please hit us up on Twitter. We will help treat your illness by just suffering with you.
So speaking of great power, great responsibility, Zachary J. Wallace wants to know on Twitter.
Zachary J. Wallace?
That's his name.
Sounds like a presidential name from like the 1890s.
Does. You said in the pod last show that they were the bottom feeder clubs. What influenced your decision to include New England and not Houston or Toronto, who finished under them in points?
Simple. CONCACAF Champions League. Had to break it up somehow. Bottom feeders, I realize, was a little bit maybe unkind in word choice, but accurate as it comes to the standing. So I feel no shame or...
Imagine a Revs fan feeling hard done by for their team being called a bottom feeder after the way that team played the last 6 months of the year. Like the other Fair. Than other than Orlando City, I don't think any team in the league had fewer points than the Revs over the last three quarters of the season.
Just because we called them bottom feeders now doesn't mean they will be that throughout the course of this year, which is what we talked about. But yeah, it was just CCL. That's it. That's all.
Cameron from Salt Lake, love
Take
the show.
Take it easy, Zach.
Yes, Zach.
Doyle seems specifically offended by the idea that Zach would say this. Zach
New England people are supposed to be more rational, all right?
No, they're not.
No,
they're
I'm policing my own right here.
Love the show. On the last show, Doyle mentioned he thinks MLS is a top 10 league. What is the panel's thoughts on where MLS is compared to the rest of the world? And also, does the continuing expansion of MLS to more and more teams hurt the league's progression with other world top leagues around 20 teams? So we don't need to answer this question. I just like that he called us a panel.
Mm.
That was the only thing I cared about from Cameron here.
Yeah.
Doyle clearly has already made his point. Would either of you like to weigh in?
I think if you look at the outgoing transfers and the players going to which leagues for how much money, that can start to tell you a story about where this league stands, because we don't have to sit here and give our own opinions. You know, we talk about this league every week. Clearly, we like it. We have varying opinions about the quality of it. But when outside entities that – world over are respected for their talent evaluation, quality of their competition, are paying tens of millions of dollars.
Or our Newcastle. Or our Newcastle United.
Oh, well, I wasn't, you know, I was trying to, like, cut them out of the equation and just lump them in.
MLS was 11th in the world in this transfer window in terms of outgoing fees. All right, maybe they're not top 10. Maybe they're top 11. I think it's right around there.
I'm just actually putting the list together in my head. The top five. We'll say the five. We're not going to...
Yep.
You have to put Mexico somewhere ahead of MLS at this point. Argentina and Brazil.
Probably.
Now Brazil more than Argentina.
Yeah. Now you're at 7-8. I'm not going to get into it with Matt on where it stands compared to Portugal and
the Netherlands
and Belgium or even a place like Croatia. I think that's a conversation.
Do you
that
have to go into Russia, second divisions at all? Do you have to go like to Bundesliga and Champo? Do those come into play?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't think so. I know there's a lot of championship fans out there, but if you are a championship fan, stop listening to this podcast.
At that point, you have to – well, I think the important thing to mention
on trash
this.
Soccer.
Wow. Between that and the baseball take that I had from last mailbag, people are going
to
be riled up.
If it's just hard to do because you could use different
Rovers
measurements.
Fans who are
if you're going to talk about interest and crowds, which is an important measurement, I mean, quality of play is not the only one you have to use here. So anyway, that's why I think it's impossible. Once you get past those first eight, it's hard just because there's different measurements, especially since some leagues are top-heavy but don't have as much depth. So
look, depth may be hurt by expansion in some sense, but I think it just is more investment. It's more net to try to get homegrown players. They're gonna spend at a level that other leagues in that little echelon
also,
don't spend at.
This conversation about expansion, I think, is a lot of geared out of American sports, that there's a finite player pool. Right, you bring in a new NFL team. Are there enough good players? There's an infinite amount of good players that play soccer around the world. The question is how good you are at scouting and bringing them in and then developing your old players. But there's not a finite pool of players that you're pulling from, which is why it's different. Andrew L. from KC says, I always hear about players having better adjusted to the league in their second year. Are there any stats to back this up? Blanco comes to mind as a good example, but don't know if he's the exception or the rule. So we're not going stats here, but – do any of you have other examples, or is there any rule that you have about this?
I mean, in general, I think it's fair to say, okay, wait till their second year and you get it better. And like Barco is probably a good example of that. I thought Almiron was better in his second year than he was in his first. I thought Joseph was better. I mean, you go back to guys like Thierry Henry, Robbie Keane, Ignacio Piatti, all these guys were better in their second full season than they were in their first. I think BWP as well, if I recall correctly.
Beckham, David Ferreira, Javier Morales. There's a long, long list. It might not be Fabian Castillo. It might not be the second year. It might be the third or the fourth, but the idea that they get better as they acclimate.
Daniel Royer is one recently at like kind of a lower level, like not even a best 11 level, just a solid player who I thought struggled a bit his first year and then became really good his second full season.
Sebastian Blanco is a really obvious, clear and obvious one there. I'm going to go to one that is near and dear to my heart. One-time predicted defender of the year, Jonathan Mensah, who was not very good his first year, but was really, really good last year, so I feel good about that.
Nice, there you go. Terry from Virginia, you talked about selling people on this league. Been watching MLS since 2010. It's very simple. I tell everyone, every single year is going to be better than the next year.
That's actually a really good point.
I think he means the last year.
Every year, yeah, than the last year.
But yeah, right. And then he says hashtag Galaxy. So I don't know if that's true, but you might. We have Ryan from Juarez, Mexico here. So shout out to the Juarez vibe of this show.
Yes.
He ended his email with hashtag Rock Chalk and hashtag East High Blue Aces.
Whoa.
Do you actually know what that means?
Yeah, that's where I went to high school. And that's where I graduated from college. So well done. Well done.
I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. Also, you know what else we've had in this mailbag? A Cameron, name of my son, and another Andrew.
We have more Cameron stuff coming up because we are about to get into everyone's previews for 2019 season for ETR.
Got you.
So we have but last question before we get there. Basically, he's asking about Jonathan Lewis' dream trade scenarios for you. He puts in the Houston Dynamo. System fits him with Kyoto aging and inconsistent and at least possibly on the move. What do you think? Doyle, I'm going to go to you first here. Your dream Jonathan Lewis trade scenario?
There's some breaking news where apparently Dome just crushed Jonathan Lewis a little bit today in a press conference.
Our buddy
Dylan Butler says a quote from Dome. People say Jonah played really well in the national team. That is good, but the most important thing, and I spoke with him, he needs to be focused in every single play. It's not enough to do two amazing actions in two games, which is fair, but the thing with Dome and so many managers in MLS and throughout MLS history is he's now holding Jonathan Lewis to a different standard than he holds, say, Tati Castellanos or Eloy Amagat.
Amagat's Dunsky. He's gone. he got held to a certain standard.
So that's really where my frustration and the frustration of a lot of people who watch this league.
Dream
make
flies.
That trade.
Dream trade. All of you think of one team.
I've got one right now. Columbus Crew.
Yeah, that's probably the one.
Pedro Santos, not really goal dangerous. Justin Miriam, TBD, love Justin Miriam. Love the Mesopotamian Lion, but there's no guarantee that he'll be back to, like, the best 11. And then Robinho is very much a question mark.
Bobby, you have one?
I don't mind him staying under NYCFC and getting his butt kicked by Dome.
So is that
That's
a no?
That's an unpopular opinion in this room. I agree largely with what Dome said, that he still has to refine his game. I'm okay with Dome doing that to him to get the most out of him if he does plan to make him a starter. I'm okay with him staying at NYCFC. I'd be interested to see what he would do in Seattle. And another person in that rotation in a similar mold to Jordan Morris. So that's a team I'll throw out.
Okay. And this now fits perfectly. Mike from South Carolina here. After everyone giving Bobby a hard time for taking liberties with a sentence on the last show, Dave then gives his one-sentence summary of the Revs as quiet optimism, which is also not a sentence. Just wanted to point that out.
Well done, Mike.
Yeah, we should have really jumped.
Can we give that guy a shirt, man?
That's pretty dope. Hey, we got a bunch of signed balls and kits and stuff. So, you know, anytime you can – chop Dave down to size.
Also, Bobby, you should hang out in South Carolina because Joe from South Carolina came in and said, trying to reach out to Bobby, telling him way to go on his coaching. I'm a U-12 rec basketball coach. It's admirable to pursue coaching and investing in kids. Also, Bobby's my favorite, and the crew should go back to hating on Weeby and give Bobby a break. Hashtag Weeby sucks.
Yes.
Get that thing trending. Let's go. Trying to make a name for myself.
Are you guys ready for our season previews?
Yes, roast us.
So we'll do some more on the next show.
Right. So to give you an idea of what this was, we do season previews, obviously, for these teams. But then someone on Twitter suggested that we should be also under the microscope for 2019. And thus, I'm sure the roasts came in.
Yeah, they did. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I've prepared myself.
State of the pod. The pod has recently found its footing, but the promotion to video will put even more scrutiny on the host's frequently undisciplined fashion choices, ins and outs. The pod losing Paul Tenorio and Ariel Castillo in a big midseason signings on free transfers left the pod shorthanded, not to mention whiter than an MLS away kit. While the bird dog came in to take a lot of Tenorio's minutes, it still feels like this club needs a big signing. Probably someone with a British accent.
Wow. We are not going to have that British accent. But
Bobby will do the British accent for the rest of this show.
There you go. Can you give us is it New York accent? Is it British?
No, from New York.
Give it a try. You had something there. I want to hear it.
Just say, listen, God save the Queen.
If the show needs it, I can do it.
Oh, my God.
Cheerio.
Strengths here. Not talking about your team. Bingo. Weakness. Timely mailing swag, actual guarantees, pronunciations. Pod MVP, brown liquor.
Woo!
Even if it's tequila.
Yeah.
That is on point. By the way, I just want to make a note here. We talked about tequila, but Añejo, Reposado, those are all like for Americans only. That's not real tequila. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, wow. Did you like?
Also, by the way, we have some more signings. I don't know if this is the time to announce. Report. Charlie Davies may come on the show a lot this year. Report. Kalen Carr and Susanna Collins will also come on the show a good bit this year. None of that's confirmed.
So those are potential ins?
Yes.
Okay, potential ins. Goal for the season here? I think this is good. Having an MLS player, coach, or general manager call out a host by name for their take on this show.
We got that last year.
I know.
But what's tequila?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Michael R. Denton, predictions one, Weeby's plans all season for a prank to avenge the spider dropped on him last year, only for something to go wrong, and it doesn't work. Bobby walks off the set at least once.
Oh, yes.
Which I don't even think that's a question mark. Doyle doesn't notice a question directed at him because he's crafting that special trolling tweet, and there's empty air for a good 90 seconds.
I don't troll.
Well, as I'm about to read this, I want you to remember you just said that. Goss cries on air when he learns the Knicks' pursuit of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis went horribly wrong.
Get ready for the Jimmy Butler era, baby.
Actually, I don't think you would cry. I don't think you would cry because your heart is already broken. So just like you would just like throw your hands up.
Luke from Milwaukee here. Here's my preview for the season. Stay to the pod in a Bobby run-on sentence. After coming off a playoff-caliber season last year, the crew looks to take the next step with a potential game-changer in the high-risk, high-reward edition of video, which could prove costly with the tantalizing prospect of Bobby mannerisms and Doyle lounging, but the chance of viewers being repulsed by the rodents in the green room.
I thought he was calling us rodents. I was like, oh, God. But yeah, there is an actual mouse in here.
Yeah, I do want people to pay attention to Bobby's body language. I really do want, when we go to video, keep an eye on Bobby's body
language. I just
language.
Want you to know,
God,
everyone
that's
out there.
So stressful to hear for Bobby. For sure.
The two things that I have advised for everyone is actually listen. So active listening, that's a big one for us that we've got to get to because so many tweets are being crafted. That's actually it.
So what I would tell you is you should worry about coaching this at home because for Play Your Kids, we have Cam Weeby Pod, an interview with some of the 15-year-old players on Bobby's team as well. Those are the two ideas for Play Your Kids.
Yeah, pretty I don't good. Know. Victoria Borg was a big part of this show. We'll see if Cameron Weeby wants to be over the course of the years. He's not yet at speech is an issue right now, so we'll work on that.
Goal for the season, at least 60% guarantee success rate. Might be an unrealistic goal, but that's what the crew should be striving for. And predictions here. This is going to make Bobby so happy. Bobby will rock the team midway through the season, leaving to pursue a youth coaching career in hopes of replacing Todd Ramos and get the U.S. Youth National Team into the Olympics. Without playing competition and tactical counterpart, Doyle will become lethargic and fail to push the crew forward with meaningful analysis. Tangents on Champo prospects and Red Bulls 2 will take over an early playoff exit for ETR.
I can tell you we get the ball in the mixer a lot. We tackle hard.
Well, there are
we get pressure on the ball, and it will get in the mixer, and our big lads will win it.
First ball, second ball. Sorry, I couldn't help
myself. Should I let this keep going?
One more.
Okay. So, we got one here. State of the pod. After flirting with the playoffs last year, ownership may be viewing this as the last season to keep the aging squad together. Ins and out. Out. Ben Bear in. None. Pod MVP,
whoa,
Bobby.
He's throwing Bob. Ben out? Ben's an out for him.
Yeah. I think he's just reading your body language. Oh. Maybe there's nothing else people can do. Pod MVP, Bobby. The season's success will revolve around his ability to gain comfort with his newfound role up top with limited preseason left to adjust. Can he cut it?
I mean, just make sure that when I go up, you run behind. That's all I got to say.
Can we just veto that accent? New York, I'm okay with.
Play Your Kids, Ben Bear's takes are childish, but he's already been proven to not be able to cut it at this level. Needs USL loan to gain professional experience.
Wow.
Yikes.
I actually think that's fair.
I cannot wait. Two more because Doyle, this was the best. Wait, can I just
That sound you hear right now is Ben Bear listening at home screaming.
Two more from him, and these are great, obviously. Burning question, will Goss have a chance to shine? So obviously a great one. He's great in the Christian Roldan role of doing whatever's asked, but will he be allowed to develop into a star? And can Sam and Paul become 90-minute regulars, or are they just sub-midweek? Their goal should be this. tread water this year until they can offload Doyle's massive cap hit next year and gain some roster flexibility.
I mean, to be fair.
I am on an expiring. Yes. 2019 is a contract year.
God. To be fair, it does hinder us. It definitely does hinder us. I do appreciate, I saw a bunch that were Weeby for MVP. I appreciate you not pushing those in here.
So. No, we'll bring those over to the Monday one.
All right.
We'll throw those on that one. Last one here, predictions. They're still a top team, but will Bobby delivering a Jack Price-esque season where his play is better than his goal return? They'll be fighting for the playoffs down to decision day.
Exactly, and there'll be like two red cards that you just cannot believe.
I just think that when Doyle goes, a good option that we should pursue is Johan Kwaze.
All right.
I think you're more Australian.
Yeah,
than
I don't know, man. He did spend time in Australia. All right, we're going to cut this one short. And by short, I mean it's probably gone on too long. We will see you on Monday, everybody. CCL preview coming then.